Hey everybody, I know this is a terrible recording, so please forgive me. There was some technical craziness going on, and we lost a good portion of the show. So unfortunately, you will not be able to hear the on-air interview with Million Dollar Quartet, or probably 15 minutes of our pre-show conversation. But you will hear our Million Dollar Quartet folks on backstage, so please listen and enjoy. Again, sorry about the technical issues. The gremlins were out.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air Performance 423. I'm Nicole Shiro, along with my co-host, Nick Mayo, and together we are Nick Squared! And you are listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby Austin, and we stream live at koop.org. If it's a we tweak, we take a look at theater. If it's happening in theater, in the world, it's happening on offstage and on the air. The
show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It's Wednesday, July 26th. And today we have on the show Zach Theater right with Million Dollar Quartet. And Zilker Theaters Productions, The Wizard of
I
Oz.
Can do that.
I'm very excited. Of course, we'll have a lively discussion, including news and views from the worlds of theater in Austin, New York, Shanghai,
and
Timbuktu, and beyond. So stay tuned. Nick. Do you know why I played that?
I don't know.
Because yesterday was the anniversary of A Chorus Line, and it was my brother's birthday at the same time. And he would come and do plays with me, and that was his audition number. So I felt like,
happy birthday, Casey.
Happy birthday, Casey. And happy birthday, Chorus Line, greatest musical ever. I just thought I'd say that.
And a strange choice for an audition song, but go with it.
He was a little kid, and I was his older sister, and he could do that. So, and ironically, the first time he ever sang it for an audition with me was for The Wizard of Oz.
Aww.
How funny. See, it all ties together. That I can do. So, oh my gosh, well, this is an exciting day. We have a lot of folks on here. I'm going to introduce everybody right now.
Whoa,
so we
you
don't
really
sound
are?
Like disembodied voices, and then I'm going to say hi.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so in the theater today, we have Cole. He's outside, so we'll all just wave to Cole. He'll be able to say hi in a second. We have Billy Cohen. Say hello, Billy. Hello,
hey.
Corbin Mayer.
Hello.
Gavin Rohrer.
Hey.
Jimmy Moore.
Hi, everybody.
Hannah Roberts.
Hi.
Jordan Barron.
Yeah, hello.
Kurt Kelso.
Hello.
And Cole, get back up here and said hi. We said you were out in the studio, but please say hello to everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. So there's a lot of voices and a lot of fun going
there's
on.
There's a lot of tall people in the studio today,
well,
too.
Well, short people got
no
reason. I know. What can I say? I'm short. So how are you, Nick? I'm checking in with you.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Busy.
Yeah,
good.
It's hot. It's
You're
hot.
Busy, too.
I am busy.
I know. We've been busy. Yeah. Busy making art. Art isn't easy. So, thank you, Kim Simpson, for another lovely International Folk Bazaar.
It's gorgeous.
Getting down, giving us a little bit extra time. And I just have to say right now, I'm missing Lisa Sheps. I'm sorry she's not here today with us.
I know.
Wah, wah, wah. Especially because we have a Wizard of Oz love and connection. So, she's a little bummed about that. I'm sorry. But I did include some of her thoughts today, and she gave us a lovely new piece from Randy Rainbow, which I will play. So she's contributed today. Don't worry. So as I said, yesterday was the anniversary of A Chorus Line. They had this awesome quiz. I scored a perfect because I am in love with this show and obsessed. But they had this all cool little questions of how well do you know A Chorus Line up on Playbill?
Mm-hmm.
How well do you know A Chorus Line? How many Tonys do you think A Chorus Line won, people?
The worst.
100 Tonys.
Okay, well, we know that wasn't true because Hamilton just broke the record last year.
70?
No. A 7, you think?
70.
200 Tonys.
Oh, come on. Oh, y'all aren't playing fun. It was 10.
10.
That's a lot. Wow, considering that's a lot it opened in July 25th, 1977.
All right, keep going with the quiz. What? Anything else?
Okay. Who was the one actress in the play who did not win a Tony who was nominated?
What's her name from the Gilmore Girls?
No, she won Susan one for Lucci. Sheila. Susan Lucci wasn't in it. It but was she Susan probably Lucci. Wouldn't have won. No, it was Priscilla Lopez for Deanna Morales. Didn't win.
Mm.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know. I was so excited, but I love a Corpse Line. I don't know why I do. I'm sorry, yeah. But I do. So Lisa texted me this morning and I added it in, but so we know my obsession with the Grobes and I steered clear from playing him today. I almost did. But you know, he left the Great Comet.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And you know who's going into the Great Comet. You have something to say, Gavin. Come step up to the...
I was going to say, I got to share a stage with him at the Tony Awards.
At the group with the Grobes?
With the Grobes.
Okay, we need to talk about this for a second. Sidebar. Tell me, is he everything I think he is and more?
He's actually like the nicest guy.
That's ever. What I thought. He just seems like he's a great sense of humor. I need to hang with him.
Yeah. I mean, he's
And wait, why were you at the Tonys?
Funny you should mention that. I just applied for this... for this gig and got it. And I was, so if you had seen the last Tony Award performance, the Comet performance had like an onstage audience all shaking eggs. And I was one of those people back there shaking eggs.
Oh, that is exciting.
Yeah.
You got to
see. Do you often get gigs shaking eggs?
Well,
is there a market for egg shakers?
In Million Dollar Quartet, you will watch me
shake an egg.
Shake a lot of things.
I feel like you can open a restaurant called Shake an Egg.
Shake an egg? You probably could.
Yeah, have your picture above the register.
Gross.
Well, I have to say, we have you were at the Drama Desk Awards.
I was the Drama Desk
Awards.
And
you were at the Tony Awards. So and you've performed in the darn things multiple times. So I feel like I'm hanging with the cool cats.
Yeah, welcome,
today.
Nicole.
Oh,
welcome, Nicole.
Award royalty.
Yeah.
Woo! So today. I guess we should go back to the Great Comet and, you know, the content of the show.
Yeah. So who's taking over for the Grobes?
Mandy Patinkin.
Really?
Okay, thank you. I know Lisa loves Mandy. I'm sorry, Lisa. He just does not do it for me. But I just found that an odd choice for Pierre. There's another gentleman that's in the role right now. One of the guys from Hamilton, I think. I had to put the old lady glasses on. Because he's going in October 3rd. No, the other guy's leaving August 13th. So he'll go in on the 15th. And it is. It's Okoret Oak Onodawin, who is took over his role from. But yeah, I thought that was a weird choice.
No, I think
I know. I'm even more mad that I didn't see it without the Grobes. And Lisa has never been a fan of the Grobes. And I suggested she go see the show. And she saw it with the Grobes and goes, okay, I'm kind of a fan. I'm like, it's the Grobes.
I didn't get to see it with Senior Grobes in it. I did see it, though, with Dave Malloy, the guy who wrote it.
Oh, he's okay. Just a joy. A joy. Like,
but
super,
you
super.
Shook an egg while the Grobes sang for you.
I did.
Okay, that's I just did. As good. And you were participating with the Grobes.
I observed him from afar at an after party as well.
Oh, God. We're going to have to talk about this forever. So, oh, my goodness. So Lisa was also sent me this, which I hadn't looked on the news this morning, so I was happy she sent it, because you know I get super excited about artivism. I just think artivism is everything. And there is this new interview that they did, and it has a video, and it's all artists of trans experience. And they open up about identity, casting, and art as an activism. Mm. And they're talking about artivism, which I just think is so important right now. I found this like a really, really, really fascinating interview. The video is so cool. And I love that, you know, they were asking their opinions and asking their life experiences. But my favorite question was, what can people who want to educate themselves do, and what are the resources? So thank you to the interviewer for asking a question like that, Ruthie Farberg. Hello, starting conversations.
It's an important thing. And speaking of starting conversations, I just got a text from Lisa Sheps who says, she doesn't love Mandy.
Did she really just text that?
Yeah, please. She texted.
She's
please
arguing
tell her I do not love Mandy.
That I have to watch Homeland, and I've told her I can't watch it because I just can't deal with Mandy Patinkin.
What is Lisa Sheps doing that she's able to listen to the show but couldn't actually?
That's
see
a very
Where
good. That's
Lisa?
A very
what
good
right
question,
Where
Jimmy.
Are you?
We have her
what
locked
did you do
in
with
the back.
Mandy Patinkin?
Nothing. I think he's a lovely gentleman. There's just I don't know. It's
You gotta let it go.
Nails on, yeah.
You gotta let it go.
Woo! Okay, well,
let that one go.
We'll bring that one around in a minute. So, okay, I'm so excited. We talked quickly about this one show. I'm gonna keep going because I want to make sure we have time to talk to everyone. Warhol Capote. Remember when I brought this up and
yes.
you all looked at me like I was nuts? And then mm-hmm. I was like, but wait a minute, it's based on real transcripts. And oh my God, announce the cast.
Oh, nice.
See, here's the picture.
Seeing it.
Did you see who it is? Leslie Jordan and Steven Spinella.
So I love both of those people a lot.
Right?
A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then...
Specifically Leslie Jordan.
Woo! Okay, and then the fact that you're really using actual dozens of newly discovered tapes between the two talking... I really just want to be in the brain or fly on the wall of Truman and Capote. Or Truman and Capote, his double self. of Andy Warhol and Capote just talking like that. I don't know. So I am super,
super. Who's directing it?
It's ART. Interestingly enough, right?
Interesting, yeah.
It's in the same season with Alanis Morissette's new Jagged Little Pill. Yeah, I know. Uh-uh. Let's not. Also, Sense and Sensibility and the musical Burn All the Night, which Ooh. Is featuring a score by Teen Commandments and a book and lyrics. Oh, Andy Menates is doing it. I didn't realize Andy was writing book and lyrics.
I don't know.
Go Andy.
Yep.
I don't know. So, cast albums. Did you see this in the New York Times?
Oh, yes. The article about cast albums.
Yeah. What did you... There's an article. It was listening to the best and worst of Broadway. What did you think of it?
I mean, I think the fact that we're having an article that's making people talk about cast albums is a good thing. There we go.
Did you see Tim Minchin
yes.
in his responses?
Yes.
I love Tim Minchin. The article starts off, Jesse Green wrote this, and he basically starts off, there was things I liked about Groundhog Day when it opened in Broadway in April, and the score wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in my review, I may have used words like sloppy, thoughtless, baggy, and lazy to describe some of the song. Especially irksome to me were the lyrics, whose many off rhymes, and I can't say some of them, were what I wrote. Missed opportunities suggesting a wide array of indiscipline. And he goes, apparently that was harsh and the fans let me know it. And in a series of responses that best summed it up, I got, shut up, Grandpa. And I love that this... Someone writing as a reviewer for the New York Times can take this criticism himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then posted, Tim Minchin wrote to him, the songwriter, brilliant, thank you for Matilda, Tim. He took a different approach and he said, a challenge for you. One, listen to the album 3 times. 2, talk to the songwriter about it. 3, write about if, how it altered your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, conversations. Mm-hmm. I just think that was so cool. So he went on and he talked about different albums. I mean, he really went all over the place from big noted stuff like Dear Evan Hansen down to he talked about Paramore and Cirque du Soleil and Playing Nancy from Amelie, Bandstand. He did a lot comparing of the new stuff this year with old stuff. But I found it a really fascinating article. So,
well, there's plenty of things that I've not enjoyed on stage, but then enjoyed the album.
I totally agree.
There's plenty of things
there's
been
a lot
in
of shows,
and then listened to it and been like, "Wait a minute, we sound much better than we were." So I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I'll go. I've been to shows where I'm like, "That is the worst book I've ever heard in my entire life."
And then
but
spent
boy,
a little bit of time
great.
With that.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I was shocked. New York City always has free shows in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked at how many they had going on this year.
It's pretty amazing.
I was kind of like, oh my goodness. So New Yorkers have a smorgasbord to choose from.
And a lot of Shakespeare, a lot of good Shakespeare.
Yeah,
Shakespeare.
New York Classical Theater, Theater for New York City, Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, and Potomac Theater Project. So they wrote really good stuff about it. We'll put that up on the air, on Offstage On Air. Women in Theater... This was an article, and this did not want to print for me. So I have to be honest with you. I read half of it and didn't, and I kind of glanced over it. And Lisa and I had a conversation last week about it, so I'm going to touch on it because I know Lisa's going to want to talk about it again. Basically, this writer got really irritated. She said, there's an animated ad playing in the subway that drives me a little bit up the wall, and it's an anti-man-spreading spot. You know, gentlemen that spread their legs and sit and take up all the space everywhere. So, and it has like a man sitting awkwardly next to a woman, and she's like, so far, so close. And then the woman daintily crosses her ankles, and she got really angry. That got her, set her off and thinking about how are women treated in theater and this and that. And I have to tell you, this was what I was glancing
for best book, I think. And we were there presenting for best solo performance. And so I talked to him afterwards and I was like, oh my gosh, I love what you do.
Vivian Vance. That's great. So we're gonna sit here and talk to Wizard of Oz in just like 1 second. Remember, if you'd like to see Idina Menzel, call Tracy 512-472-5667, and you might find out if that's possible or not. See, she's only letting you listen to a second of it because the rest of the show happens on Saturday. She's just teasing you today. That was a tease. Idina Menzel. So, okay, I'm excited because I have a total obsession with the Wizard of Oz, like I do a chorus line. And my gosh, we have Wizard of Oz here in here. Everybody but the Scarecrow. He had to hang out in the field today.
Yeah.
Some people's got to work.
That's right.
And the Scarecrow had to work. So, hello, Zilker Theater Productions and Wizard of Oz. We're so happy to have you guys in here. Kirk Kelso. Oh my God, Hannah Roberts. Oh, I was doing so good with my brain flash. Jordan Barron and Jimmy Moore, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. We're so happy to be here.
So we have the director, Dorothy Lyon, and Tin Man. How cool are we?
I mean, cool.
Okay. So if someone's been living under a rock, could you give them a nickel dime form of The Wizard of Oz?
You would like the plot summary of The Wizard of Oz?
I mean, like, really, if someone looked at it was like, I haven't heard of it. I mean, I just can't understand that. But yeah. If someone was like, I haven't heard of it.
I'm not trying to judge those people. You know, some people
what
didn't
would you
know
say?
That Mary had a little lamb.
What would you say?
That was a Sister Act reference.
I heard that.
And it was excellent. So those of you driving who like Sister Act, that's what that was for. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Wizard of Oz. So Wizard of Oz is about a little girl in Kansas who is hoping for something bigger and better and wants to escape from her problems. And so she gets the opportunity to when she goes over the rainbow in a cyclone and meets a bunch of interesting and exciting characters and really learns a lot about herself and how to treasure the gifts that she was given, you know, strength, heart, courage, home. All those things that, and home.
Yeah.
Chewies.
Chews.
Chewies restaurant here in Austin, Texas, for the people of Austin.
That's so funny. With her Chewies, Dorothy's at Chewies. Well, she's in Austin. Why wouldn't Chewies. She be? Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because as different as Million Dollar Quartet is to Wizard of Oz, y'all are in kind of the same boat with, these are iconic people and characters. Like, I know they're characters and they're not real people like these other icons, but they are real to everyone. Yes. And growing up and such a part of people's history and childhood. So, like, how do you take on a role like this that we all know? Kirk Kelso yeah. just gave eyes of... curiouser and curiouser, well, said Alice to the Caterpillar.
I've just been so immensely influenced by the movie all of my life that I could hardly separate, you know, the Bert Lahr version from, and just having so much fun playing it myself as the Cowardly Lion, by the way. So that's kind of my take on it.
How about you, Hannah? You're a little younger. Maybe you have fresh new eyes and you look at it a little different.
I watched the movie a lot as well, but I decided from the beginning that I sort of had to make it my own in order to make it work because Judy Garland is so unique and you can't really copy that. So I made it my own, but did incorporate some of the, you know, some of her mannerisms and that sort of thing.
Interesting. And leave me out. Don't leave right. me hanging.
Well, I definitely grew up watching the movie as well, but once this production came around, I didn't really revisit it too much. Jack Haley created such a understated and I don't know, sentimental,
nuanced,
yeah, right, character that actually I find that since we have such a big house to perform to, it's easy to create my own thing because an understated performance wouldn't work out there. So I get to take what I liked about his role and then try to, you know, broadcast it to the back of the hillside, which turns it into my own thing. So, you know, that's
cool. And so, Jimmy, from a director's standpoint, that's got to be even crazier than from acting. Like, what?
Yeah, no, I was I certainly was impacted by the movie as a kid, and I knew that coming into this, people would want to see the characters that they knew and loved up on the stage and sort of appearing before them again. So we were super interested in bringing those iconic moments to the hillside, but we had so many challenges in the hillside that are about like no fly space, so we couldn't fly a witch, and about like the elements, you know, and about a huge house. It's very different doing obviously a show on stage.
Now, wouldn't you welcome a tornado? I mean, it has to help the budget.
Yeah, that's very true. That's nice very breeze. True. Our tornado is really ingenious and sort of clever, you know, I do say so myself because I staged it. But there were these great moments I wanted to bring to the hillside, but there's no way we would have been able to put the movie. You might as well do a movie in the park, and that's not what we're doing. Each one of these actors gets more to do in the stage show than they got to do in the movie, because there's additional lyrics, there's an additional song that we do in our production.
The really good song they cut from the movie. I was so
that howl is
in the treetops. It's that rascal. The jitterbug. I asked Jimmy first off and earlier before the show started, I'm like, so please tell me. It's a great song. And
it's
song.
It's the 11 o'clock number. If you don't have that, then you're just sort of pushing towards the end of the show. I had an artistic director friend of mine that was like, cut it. Just cut it out of the show. And I was like, there's no way.
I love cutting you out of my life.
It's a big band number that I'm super excited about.
It is.
And we had a terrific choreographer and assistant choreographer that were able to put that together for us. And it's a high point in the show, I think.
Oh, that is so cool.
High
and hot point. Hot to trot.
I have to tell you, I was excited when I learned that this season was The Wizard of Oz. I mean, this really is the perfect show for the Zilker Summer musical to put in the park. That is just for all ages and all families. And I just think if you really haven't seen The Wizard of Oz, I just feel that somehow there's a connection or a story. Everybody has their own Dorothy story. Do you hear a lot of different Wizard of Oz or Dorothy stories from people? Like their personal connection? Are they eager to tell you that?
Every night there's a few little girls dressed up as Dorothy. So that's always exciting.
Hannah, that's such a wonderful thing. And what is that like, knowing that you're a part of so many young people's first theatrical experience? That's one of my favorite things about Zilker, is that so many people get their opportunity to see their first, have their first theatrical experience in the park. What does that feel like to greet those girls and boys after the show as Dorothy?
It's surreal. It's a dream come true for me. And they all come up. They're so engaged. A lot of times after shows, little kids will be kind of nervous, but these kids are so excited and into the story, and they come up and give me hugs. It's just a really joyful environment.
That must be rewarding for you, Hannah. Do you remember your Dorothy moment, your moment when you first saw something and someone was that for you?
Well, I actually saw the national tour of Wizard of Oz when I was little, and I remember watched that Dorothy sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I was just taken aback, and I was like, maybe one day I'll get to do that, and that was probably the first inspiring moment I had.
Wow, how beautiful that you get to have that full circle moment.
Yeah, you know, there's so many, this is another, again, you'll have $1 million problem, or maybe you call it a Wizard of Oz problem, good show problems. There's so many good songs in this show. Like, how do you choose a favorite song in this one? I don't think I could.
Oh, I do. It's Over the Rainbow.
Is it really over? See, but
over
I see
Rainbow
I could.
Such a, like,
I mean, I don't
song.
Have a problem
I know,
that at
but
all.
The jitterbug is fun.
The jitterbug is fun, but I think that actually Over the Rainbow is number one on AFI's list of like most influential movie songs. So I mean, that there are a few people in America that haven't been impacted by this story. Some two people worldwide that haven't been
there
impacted
are
by
so
this story.
Many cover. What's great, it's one of those universal songs. Like when you see the cover, you do a search for who's done the song. It's every genre.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't just jazz singers or Broadway people, or it's every genre, which is, I guess, speaks to the product itself. The Wizard of Oz is everyone.
What a great, as you said, the perfect choice for Zilker. And I want to say that I've been in the summer months doing a lot of loops around Town Lake and jumps in Barton Springs, and it is such a joy to hear the sounds that are coming from your theater. And I've worked with Hannah, and we've worked together a lot in the past, and I will just stand by Barton Springs on the entrance and listen to you on occasion. Aww. And you, the joy that is coming out of that theater mm-hmm. is unbelievable. And your voice, Hannah, has grown so much in the year that we've been working together and knowing each other. And you sound so beautiful on that song. Audiences are so lucky to see and feel that. All the love coming from that theater. It's a really great,
thank you
great
so
thing.
Much.
It's stunning.
You're making Hannah cry in here. Make the children cry, Nick Mayo.
But it's a great, Austin should be very, very proud of Zilker.
This is offstage and on the air where we make children cry.
No, but I do want to throw out there that this show is there are tons of people who get to see theater for the very first time. The show is accessible to everyone. We're even having an accessibility night this Friday. Which
oh,
is
that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you are a person with disabilities. It's an awesome opportunity to come and be a part of the world that we've created. There's so much love that's coming off of the stage and so much love that's coming from the audience back up to the performers. It is a really and truly a unique experience in my life to have been a part of something so exciting.
It is unique. And there aren't a lot, I mean, for the cities that have this experience, like they're able to offer that, very lucky. And I'm so like, is this the 70th, 60th year, 61st year?
Next year is the 60th year. I believe this year. Company okay. is the oldest of its kind that is still continually operating.
It
America.
Is. Yes. I believe you are correct mm-hmm. on that
this
one too.
This is also the 100 year anniversary of Zilker Park in general. So wow. come on out and celebrate with us.
That's right. See, you could do what Nick does and go swim in the park and then go catch a little.
It's beautiful.
It's giving back to your city. It's so cool. All right. So, tell me about some of these other cool people that couldn't make it here with you today. Are there some shout outs that you need to give for some of your designers or cast or crew or?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to our like terrific producers who have really worked hard to put this show up. Let's just say by like any stretch of the imagination, this is not a small show. It is in fact the biggest and most expensive show that Zilker Theater Productions has ever done. I'm super proud to be at the helm of it, but I could not have done what I did and what these talented actors are doing every night without the help of our executive director, Kate Hicks, and Shannon Ritchie, who is one of our producers, Peter Beilhart.
Shannon's everything, first
Shannon
of all.
Is
we
everything.
We just gave her last week. We had to stop and do the Shannon is everything, okay, and the Ginger Morris is everything. So let's
listening.
Just do it again. Shannon Ritchie is everything, and Ginger Morris is everything.
Lovely, lovely women. There's a lot of there's so much talent and dedication in the theater scene here in Austin that's really inspiring. But yeah, I would love to give a shout out to those producers, to our choreographer Adam Roberts,
Kat Carson, our stage manager.
Oh, Kat! So I love Miss Kat too. You tell that little
great.
Cat I said
and
hi.
And Brody, who is our our PS. What is his title? Whatever, Brody, you're out there. You know what you do, and you're awesome. So much love to you. We have an awesome wardrobe supervisor. There is love in this show, y'all. In the dressing rooms, backstage, behind the scenic elements. There's a lot of love.
Well,
happening.
And that's a beautiful thing about Zilker is that everyone is there because they love it.
Yes,
you
that's
know,
so
that
true.
That is why we come to do it, not mm-hmm. for any other reason other than we want to share it with...
Jordan is an Austin native, but he is living and working in New York now. And so I was like, I know who I want to play the Tin Man. I'm calling Jordan
so
Barron.
So you came... Were you planning on coming home this summer? You just came back for
moment,
this?
Not for a full summer, but I was more than happy to have an opportunity to come back. I had only lived in New York for less than a year, and it's a huge change from Austin. And
yeah, it's a...
and Zilker is something that I hold so dear. I did my first show out there in 2005, and it really made me fall in love with theater, and is the whole reason that I moved to New York in the first place. So I was happy to come back.
Talk about full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Hannah, you're going off to study next year. You're
yes.
an Austin native who's going off to study theater. And where are you headed to school?
I'm going to Otterbein University.
Amazing.
For music theater.
Yes. Love it. And Kirk, we keep you here. You don't leave.
I just never go
away.
We
just stick you and roll you in for the next show. What's on the horizon? You have anything on the horizon yet?
Yes,
are you still
as a matter
just,
of fact,
you
I
do?
Will be just next door in Chicago, the musical.
Oh, so you'll be back wow. on soon.
Yes,
local,
very, very,
local
very
celebrity.
Soon.
All right, but you have to, you're going to, I look forward to seeing you more. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I'm excited. I really can't. I have to... I moved from Texas, and when I ended up graduating high school, it was in Syracuse, and the town right next to where I lived outside of Fayetteville, Manlius, is Chittenango, and Chittenango Falls are these gorgeous waterfalls I would always go to, and I stumbled upon downtown Chittenango one day and turned around and went, no one told me this is the home of Frank Elbaum.
Mm-hmm.
The town streets are yellow brick sidewalks, that's and everything's cool. Wizard of Oz, and I was like... moving to Syracuse isn't so bad.
He's got a really cool story. If you ever get to like listen, like he lived all over the place.
He's fascinating. There's a reason
that Dorothy is named Dorothy, and that's kind of a touching like family story. And there's a lot of really cool. This show has so much history in it too. That it was a play, and then it was a movie, and then it for years was a stage show that was not like the movie. And
it had the pet cow and silver shoes.
Yeah, it's a different. It's a,
yeah,
the
she had a pet cow, not
different.
A dog. She had silver shoes.
And
but
then we're doing the Royal Shakespeare Company version, which is the movie script with some love and additional details added in.
Well, I hope we're running out of time, or we're leaving here in a sec. I hope you guys can stick around and talk to us off stage. Thank you guys so much for coming. That was Zilker Theater Productions, The Wizard of Oz Productions, The Wizard of Oz, running now through August 12th. For more information, zilker.org. And we're just going to go out here next because Awesome Monitor News is coming up. I'm just going to go out with a hair of Wizard of Oz. Nick, thank you so much.
It's a joy.
For another show, because we are Nick Squared. And Lisa Sheps, we miss you, and we'll see you next week.
I put on some makeup, I turn on the tape deck, and pull the wig back on my head.
We're all sitting here backstage amongst the dumpsters after Tank, the musical, where a giant tank with a gun too large tries to drive across the stage. Wow. Dun, dun, dun. Hello. Thank you guys for, I have to say, we have the cast of Wizard of Oz, M Million Dollar Quartet. Everyone climbed over all the crazy fluids and trash and came out to the dumpsters to hang out with us. So thank you guys all so much for being here. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Everybody's looking at me like, did you really make me come to the dumpsters? Yes, I did. I made you come to the dumpsters. Yeah, well, yeah, we're a large group. We're happening. Let's have a group hello. Ready? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. See, it's a party at the dumpster. All right, so let's go quickly. Tell me a little bit about, oh my gosh, Corbin, you're just cracking up at me over here. Tell me a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, originally, and what I do is I wrestle with mics in a podcast. I'm a New York City-based actor, and I'm happy to be here in Austin doing Million Dollar Quartet again.
So how did you get into theater?
I was in seventh grade, and after a series of personal tragedies in my family, I was kind of struggling for a way to get out of a depression, and so my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Beach, she recommended, she was like, hey, you know, they're doing a Music Man at school. You should totally audition for it. And I was like, well, I don't have anything to win. I don't have anything to lose. So I might as well just go do it. And then, you know, I get into the Music Man, and it really, you know, it does something for me. It kind of allowed me to express myself. And I think a lot of people can identify with that. You know, some people in this industry have a similar story, but, you know, that's kind of how I got into theater.
Well, let's give a shout out to Miss B. We love educators. And mm-hmm. There's always, it's so cool that every week someone always has a teacher from their past that they bring up that was special and left a mark. So
absolutely.
Rock on, Miss B, for getting you into the Music Man. Mm-hmm. So you were hooked since then?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been fun. And I was at a crossroads when I was in like graduating high school because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I, you know, had interests in doing business, and I also had interests in other areas, but I got a phone call from Kathy McNeela, who is director of the program at Elon University, and said, hey, we want you to do this. And I was like, okay, well, let's roll the dice on this one. If this is probably a sign that I should maybe be involved with this, I'm sure. And
so tell people a little bit about where you went to school. You told me where you went to school, and this is kind of a neat little school and program.
Yeah, Elon University is located about 30 minutes east of Greensboro, North Carolina, and it's one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever been on, and I'm really grateful for the teaching and the insight that I got there and the skills that I got equipped with to handle, you know, acting in the profession and all the pitfalls and perils that people fall into in this business. And I learned a lot about not just how to perform, but how to be okay, I guess, with like all of the stress that happens with this job, and how to kind of just invest yourself into the work and find it as its own reward.
Oh, that is very cool. All right, I'm going to mix it up for a minute. Make Hannah come over here and share the mic.
Hi.
Hannah, first of all, at your little Greater Austin High School. Look at you're such a gentleman. Greater Austin High School Musical Awards and all of your Wizard of Oz, and you're going off to study.
Yes. So I'm going to Otterbein University next
You
year.
Are, and you're going to study theater, right?
Yes, yes.
So what was your first show? What was your moment that made you...
Well, my first show was also Music Man.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. Well, see, there's something told me to just jump to Hannah for a minute.
Were you in the same production?
Uh-huh. So I didn't know what musical theater was when I auditioned for the show or anything, and it was actually at Zilker. So my first show in Austin was at Zilker, and then my last show before I leave Austin is at Zilker. So kind of cool, yeah.
So do you plan on moving forth and going to New York, or do you want to come back to Austin and do stuff? Like what? You don't have to know, by the way. There's not a right or wrong answer.
I'm not sure at this point. I would love to be in a tour or, I don't know, just I want to move around. So hopefully I get to travel, basically. Oh, yeah.
I like that. Do you have a favorite role that you're looking forward to?
I really want to play Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
That's a good choice. Yeah. I like it. All right, Gavin.
What's up?
Where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yep.
Who wants to know?
The listeners.
Well, I am. I'm from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, a little tiny town called Pocosin, in the Chesapeake Bay. I grew up there all my life. Went to school in Virginia, University of Virginia, and then I moved up to New York back in 2012, and now I'm doing a show in Austin this summer.
So how did you get into theater? Was there a moment, a play?
Do you want the long story?
Short story.
Short story? Okay.
We have a lot of people here at the Dumpsters, and it's stinky.
It is stinky. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. I was a band kid. Corbin's heard this story like a million times. I was a band kid. And I was standing by the stage door, herding all the band kids out. I was drum major, so I had to, you know, usher them forth to the field. And this teacher, another teacher.
Yeah,
story.
Do you know her name? Do you remember her name?
Karen Shepherd.
Okay, shout out to Karen Shepherd.
Karen Shepherd. She, she knew my whole, she taught my parents, you know, probably was there when I was born, real small town stuff. And she knew me. I didn't know her very well, but she knew all about me. And she said, "Are you auditioning for the show?" And I said, "What the hell are you talking about? I have band practice." And and she was like, "Come on, why don't you audition?" I was like, "Nah, I'm good." She convinced me to come in. I did it. I auditioned. I got the smallest role in the show. It was like four lines or something, playing the custodian in this murder mystery. And then 10 days before it opened, she kicked out the lead. And rather than screwing with any of the other supporting cast, took me and threw me up there and made me memorize all this.
It had to be a little daunting and exciting at the same time.
It was crazy. Well, it was, you know, it was trial by fire. I was bit. And so I did all of the shows at the school, in my high school, you know, the fall and spring show for the next 2 years. I was a junior at the time, and then when I went to school, when I went to UVA, I went there to do foreign affairs with a concentration in Middle Eastern politics. That didn't work out. Arabic was really hard, and I was not interested in learning it anymore. And so then I was like, oh, I'm really into astronomy. That also didn't work out. Because calculus is really hard. And, so then I...
Because playing instruments is just so easy.
Well, then I started auditioning for stuff. I auditioned for Sweeney Todd, and I got Sweeney. And then I auditioned for Rent, and I got Mark. And then, you know, I auditioned for Evita, and I got Che. And so I was like... And I don't have much training, so I was like, I think I got a knack for this. And so then I started pursuing training and, you know, actually taking acting classes and voice lessons and what have you. And here I am, making a living.
Here you are. Oh, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I love it. Well,
all thanks to Karen Shepherd.
Karen Shepherd.
Who actually came. My last Million Dollar Quartet was in Virginia, about 2 hours from where she lives.
Did she come?
And she came to it, yeah.
see those people even remember you like you remember them. That's so cool. All right, Jordan, grab this mic. You know, y'all can move any of these mics around because we show how the sausage is made on offstage and on the air. You can pull this. So, Jordan, where are you from? You're actually an Austinite,
yeah,
correct?
I'm an Austinite.
See, I remember Jimmy Moore. I remember some things you tell me.
For sure.
You're a real Austinite.
Real Austinite. I went to college in Oklahoma. Now I live in New York, but I am back in Austin at the moment.
We're in Oklahoma.
Oh, you. But don't tell any Austin UT fans that.
That's not where.
No. That's where I went, down in Norman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, we just did this show at the Lyric.
Yeah, no.
We were having an Oklahoma conversation. Yeah, oh, you weren't here yet when we were having that conversation.
Billy Elliot.
We did it at the Lyric.
And Jimmy right here. Jimmy just did Rocky Horror at the Lyric.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's rad, I do.
So Jimmy was just in Buyer and Seller at Zach last year. So there's a lot of crossover right here. Bringing it all back together.
Playing all the gay roles, fops and fags.
He's the king of one-liner.
Jimmy Moore's a good time. Jimmy Moore. So Jordan, let's go back to you since Jimmy just took over.
So
you went to Oklahoma and now you're in New York.
Now I'm in New York.
And Jimmy sucked you back into coming here.
Yeah, because I
didn't know you were
going to
hang by dumpsters, did you?
No. But I mean, hey, smells are great. I'm used to them in New York, so.
How'd you get into theater?
My first production ever was Wizard of Oz in 2003, but I was a munchkin here. And that was at Bass Concert Hall with a company called Broadway Texas.
Yeah,
I
remember.
That they went under after that production.
Yeah, I know.
I sank the whole company.
Yeah. You sank the whole.
But no, it did feel very full circle to come back and do Wizard of Oz.
And now you're sinking this company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so who knows after I...
That's not true.
but I kind of got the bug after doing that show. And then I, not long after, did a show at Zilker. And that really kept my passion alive. And I kind of was at school doing sports. And then I was also a band kid. And I moved on to theater at the end of high school, really, and did a show at Zach as well. And then I, halfway through my senior year, decided, okay, I have to, like, actually pursue this. And then I went to college, and now I'm in New York doing
that stuff.
Oh, that's
so exciting. So you go back to New York after this, right?
Uh-huh.
You have anything in the prod? You just auditions, classes?
Just auditions. Yeah, no. Yeah, just living the auditioning life.
Dream role? Anything?
Dream role. Yeah, actually, my dream role was Moritz in Spring Awakening, but I got to do it at Zach, and now I'm
working on a new
now,
one.
But, well, but now what's really cool is that
I'm dreamless. Is how Ginny goes. I'm dreamless.
But now I'm just in it for the business, which actually feels great. Because I used to have like one role I wanted to play, and now I just want to be doing theater, which I feel like is the whole reason to be doing it. So, yeah.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, Cole, you're up, Mister.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you from?
Well, I currently live in Las Vegas by way of Nashville, Tennessee. You might have heard of a place called Nashville.
Yes, I've heard of Nashville. So, all right, those are two very different places. Do you like one better than the other?
I'm a Tennessee boy at heart, and home is where the heart is. So I love Tennessee. I prefer Tennessee, but Vegas has been mighty good to me, so I can't put that
down. I have a lot of friends that enjoy living in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, Cole, how did you actually have a lot of music background and stuff, too. Yes. So how did you get into this theater thing? What came first, the theater or the music?
Music came first. Music's been part of my life ever since I can remember. But I've always loved theater, too. So I would participate, like, in high school productions and stuff like that early on. But when Million Dollar Quartet came along, I had been doing, you know, keeping very busy with the music thing. And I always loved the Sun Records roster artist. I love Johnny Cash and Elvis and Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee, Roy Orbison and Charlie Rich, all those guys that Sam had on his label. So when this show came along, and they came and auditioned in Las Vegas. They're looking to open the Vegas show. I kept hearing from people saying, we know you don't want to be an impersonator. We know you don't want to do that, but this is a play. You should go check it out and audition for it. So I did. And it gives me an opportunity now to portray my heroes as an actor and a musician. And that's what we're doing.
That's pretty awesome, Sauce. Do you have a role or a show that you would want to do? And maybe something totally outside your wheelhouse that people would be like, get out. You don't want to do that. And you're like, no, I really do.
I don't know if it'd be outside the wheelhouse. Grease has always been on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I could totally, yeah. I love that the rest of the quartet and the Wizard of Ozians are like, yeah.
Yeah, I love Greece. I love Memphis. Memphis is great.
Memphis is, we love the, Lisa and I play a lot of stuff from Memphis. We love the music and love absolutely. That show.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't seen that, but All Shook Up.
All Shook Up is good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, Jimmy Moore.
Me?
Yeah.
Little me? I'm not going to have to steal someone else's microphone? I can get my own? Just kidding. Sorry.
Well, if you misbehave, we may get the hook and take it back.
I'll do what I can.
All right, Jimmy. So you've been on backstage and we learned about your San Antonio roots and your
that's
first
nice
show.
Nice of you to remember. Thank you.
Hello. ADD.
That's so sweet.
Seven of the eight kinds. Useless information all stored up here. I think you talked about what your first show was, but I have to say, I don't remember. What was it that gave you the theater bug?
Yes. My first show was a starring role in the children's book, Mike Fink. And it was a fifth grade production. It happened in the cafetorium. I was picked because the music teacher, shout out to Mrs. Richards.
Mrs. Richards.
Went down the line of boys in my class and did Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. And I was the biggest
mo.
That's
a hard audition.
So I got it. And the tagline for the show was cock-a-doodle-doo, I'm back for round two, let's wrestle.
Oh my God, that's so wrong
and
for fifth grade.
It stayed with me, so yeah. It's my email sign-off.
Listen, don't laugh. If Coors Line hadn't had their anniversary yesterday and it wasn't my brother's birthday, I was going to open today's show with Eye of the Tiger from Rocky Das Musical, because let's just talk about spring training camp for football started today.
I have nothing to say about that.
Yeah.
I wore my Houston Texans shirt. Yeah, J.J. Watt back on the field. Sorry, just had to get a little excited about that.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Tigers and made me think of Rocky. I don't know.
Okay, great. Well, you know, whatever. It's your podcast. You talk about whatever you want.
So, all right, Jimmy, what is something that people wouldn't know about you that, you know, a lot of Austinites have seen you on stage or know who you are? Would you tell something about the listeners, like a little secret maybe we don't know?
A little secret that you
or
don't know?
Or like maybe what is like a hobby or something on the side you like to do? That people are like, get out.
Time for hobbies.
He needs a haircut.
That's I need a haircut saying. Today. Actually, here's what somebody asked me this the other day, and this is what I said. I am actually colorblind.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. And so people, it's a red-green situation.
Are you going to get those new glasses?
I really want them. If there's somebody out there who's looking to donate some N-chromas, I'll give you my address. But yeah,
that's
I really want to
do it.
But then I'm worried that I might start to cry or something, and I'm going to be like, or worse, that I would be like, I actually really prefer being colorblind to like all the crazy stuff that you guys see. I don't think it's huge. I've taken several tests, and they're all like, for sure. But yeah.
You see shades of gray, like
no,
gray
no.
Scale,
I mean,
or?
I see color. I think that I just do not see color as vividly as some other people do. I think that's kind of what the situation is.
Except for when Liza walks into a room,
and then it's like, talk about over the rainbow.
Halston red.
Yeah, Halston red. Yes.
Do you have any hobbies? And we're talking about.
I don't have any hobby. This is my hobby. I come and do Nicole's radio show once a year when I happen to be doing a show in Austin.
So are you going to be back on stage soon, or are you going to stick with the directing thing for a while?
I hope so. I feel like every time I'm directing, I'm like, oh, I wish I was acting. And every time I'm acting, I'm like, man, I wish I was directing this. So it really feeds, I think. It's a one-man show. Well, I did Byron Seller.
He just did Byron Seller.
Which is, I played Barbra Streisand.
He was living in the basement of Barbra Streisand. House. Yeah, they let him out to direct The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have a dream project you want to work on?
Do I have a dream project? I think I would really be interested now at this point in I would love to work with a company where I'm able to work with the same people over and over again. I think that so many amazing things come when you know who you're working with and you know what their strengths are and you're able to capitalize on what everybody is best at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm really super interested in finding like a home. But saying that, I also am interested in, I think the more experience you can have from other places to bring back to where you're from, the better. So I'm kind of trying to do both. I'm looking for like a place that I can call home while also looking for other opportunities to learn and stuff, you know? So I'm kind of open to anything acting and directing right now.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Way cool. So, all right, I'm jetting over here to you, Mr. Billy.
All righty.
So I'm going to toot your horn for a second. Hannah is part of the Greater Austin High School Musical Awards, which are based on the Tommy Tune Awards. Ginger was mentored by Tommy Tune. This young gentleman won the Tommy Tune Award a few years ago. Yeah, see?
Way back when,
man. Yeah, wait, a whole three, 4 years ago?
2012.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you're a Houstonian, but but have you lived anywhere else, or are you really just born and raised Houstonian?
Originally from Houston. I was raised there. I went to school in New Jersey, and I lived in New York for the past, 8 months. And now I'm here in Austin.
So how did you get into theater? What was your first role?
I was actually originally – I played a lot of tennis growing up. I, traveled around Texas and all over playing tennis tournaments and was originally going to play college tennis, but my sister did a lot of theater, and in eighth grade, I decided to audition for the musical Godspell back at River Oaks Baptist School in Houston, Texas.
Getting down.
And, just kind of from there, I fell in love with it, and I just kind of thought there was no other thing I wanted to do with my life.
That's pretty awesome, Sauce. And you majored in theater, right?
Or you had
a double major.
My school didn't do a theater major. They don't have a theater major.
I didn't think that. Yeah, but yeah. You did something. You went to Princeton. You're kind of dumb.
Yes. So they don't have a theater major. So I did. I actually majored in religion. I studied.
Oh, that has to be kind of fascinating, especially in a time like now.
Exactly. I said Judaism and Christianity because I'm half Jewish. And then I studied theater as a minor there. So, but the great thing about Princeton was that I got to so close to New York that a lot of my professors were New York directors who would just commute for an hour to teach a class once a week, which was kind of invaluable.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So do you have a dream role or a goal?
You know, something that's been on my mind recently is, Million Dollar Quartet was just released and a bunch of regional theaters are doing that. And now the next big actor musician show is going to be Once. So just kind of looking for an opportunity to do that.
Well, you know, you guys might be good for that considering you play the instruments too.
Hire us.
Yeah, you could tell people to hire us. Okay, I am. And Kirk Kelso, pop in here.
All right.
I'm going to give you, and then once we're done with Kirk, we're going to have to wrap up because they're ready. I see the garbage trucks down the street to take the dumpster. But I know that some of you have some albums and music in your own website, so we'll go roundtable real quick, and you can let folks know where to check out more info on you and what you're up to. And then I'll remind them about the theaters, too. So, Kirk.
Hello.
All right. I ask you this every time. Tell me something we don't already know, because know you're an open book, Mr. Kelso.
I don't know that y'all know the first show I was in when
in
one-act play in high school where the teacher hounded me for weeks to audition, and I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, because I was afraid I would not get cast. And she called me after school one day and said, I'm going to give you the part of the ladybug in The Ant and the Grasshopper. But you've got to come audition to get the part. So I said, okay.
And you were so hooked after the ladybug?
I was kind of. And then I took a large sabbatical once I got out of high school. And kind of the same thing happened again with musicals about 7 years ago. I was pretty much led by someone to audition for a musical, and I got the part, and now
you've been going like an Energizer bunny. But it's been exciting because you've played so many different roles.
Yes, I have.
I wouldn't say it's not like you're not pigeonholed.
Mostly
that's
animals,
for sure.
Mostly animals, gays,
you do
a tranny
animals,
here and there.
Yeah.
So I get those too.
I call that well-rounded.
Yes.
Rangy. Different strokes Rangy. For different folks. That's what makes the world go. Do you have a dream role or show that you want to do?
You know, The Cowardly Lion was one of the biggest.
So what do you?
It'll be hard to top. This
I know.
One, so.
Once you get those roles, where?
And I also love being Billy Flynn, which I'm getting to do again. When Billy Flynn was over the first time I did it, I said I would love another shot at this one because I think I can do it better. So
that's a good one.
I'm
that's a
getting
good
that one next.
Oh, I like that. All right. Well, if I know when it's happening, I'll let you know.
All right.
I'll be like Kirk Kelso, go.
Billy Flynn, take him out.
Take him out. Well, y'all, thank you so much for staying backstage. The Wizard of Oz is playing at Zilker Summer Musical. This is a free event, people. You just show up. bring out your blanket, your picnic, bring your food, bring your family, and sit on the hillside and enjoy a wonderful night of theater. It's just awesome sauce. And then you can go the next day. You know, you could go see a matinee of Million Dollar Quartet and then head over, make a day of it.
Two-show day.
So what you do, all right, I am now a travel planner. Ready? On a Sunday, you just go to Million Dollar Quartet and have a 2:30 show. It's a nice 2 hours with intermission that gives you lovely time to walk over, put your picnic blanket down on the Zilker, Beverly Zilker Hillside Theater. Mm-hmm. Put your blanket down, reserve your spot, and take a quick dip in the Barton Springs, world famous Barton Springs, and then walk right back to your little picnic, have a little schnapp, have a little nosh. And watch some show.
That's a hard day to dress for.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a bathing suit underneath your theater dress kind of situation.
There are restrooms.
Yeah, that's true.
There are bags. Yeah. And these are two, this is an...
And it is Austin, so nobody really cares
nobody
if you
really
strip
cares.
Down and
you
change
keep it,
right
that's
there.
That's true. And these are two shows that are so iconic and so different, but they're so both uplifting and fun that you won't feel bipolar or torn that you're like, I went from here to here. I did Hugh Jackman's The River and Hedwig back to back. That was an odd one with 10 minutes between shows. You know, emotionally, you're like, whoa. So that's kind of cool stuff. And so Million Dollar Quartet is playing at Zach. And for more information on that, ZachTheater.org. So Zilker.org and ZachTheater.org about those shows. And quickly, I know some of you have albums and websites. So if you guys just want to go around the table real quick and say your name and where people can get more info.
Yeah, I'm Gavin Rohr, and my main publicity page is on Facebook. You can find videos of me doing stuff. You can find photos of me that I sell.
And Rohr is Rohrer.
What?
Right?
No.
What?
Rohrer. The hell are you saying?
Did I say an extra E?
I don't know what you said.
I'm sorry. I gave
there's
you
a
the
lot
wrong
going
information,
on.
Nicole. I would
did I add an extra E? Maybe I did.
Yeah, there's some.
So how do you spell your name? I should just... Can you change it for me?
Change it. Rohrer.
Roarer.
Roarer.
Like
Roarer. That's in the jitterbug. I'd like to roar him down.
I'd like to
but
roar
I think
him
I
down.
Lost my Roarer.
My great grandmother.
He's over at Zach.
My great grandmother, who was British, also bore the name, and she pronounced it Roarer.
Oh, that's quite lovely.
Rora.
So the lion had it right all the time.
He apparently did. Billy, you just had an album come out last week.
Yes, it's called Billy Cohen. It's available on Spotify and iTunes. Actually, Apple Music, yeah. And you can check me out on my website, billyjcohen.com.
Fabu. Mr. Cole.
Yes, that's me.
Are you rockincole.com?
You are so good.
God, it's ADD.
That
I'm
is
serious.
So good.
You guys think it's a line, but it's not.
For a second. You had it already. Yeah, rockincole.com. rockncole.
Like rock and roll.
That's right. Just like rock and
the
roll.
The hip cats here now.
You're hired. I'll tell you, Nicole, we've got a new album coming
out. I was
out
like,
too.
You have one soon, or
I'm
did
just
it just
trying
come
to
out?
Keep up with Billy over here, you know. No, we got a new album coming out, and I'm really excited about it. We cut it in Nashville at the iconic Cinderella Sound Studios. At the studio, Willie's cut there, and a bunch. Linda Ronstadt cut her first stuff there. Anyway, a lot of great, great talent out of there. Had Charlie McCoy on there playing harmonica, the legendary Charlie McCoy. Wayne Moss on guitar, who played on Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line and Pretty Woman. A lot of great stuff. Just a lot of killer musicians, and we're looking forward to releasing. It's going to drop in Austin in about a week or two.
There's a whole lot of shaking going on here in this town. Kirk, where do folks find more info on you?
Yeah, www.kirkworks.com. That's KIRKWERKS for personal training and yoga.
Yeah, I know. You are the fitness guru. You are everything.
That's what I do in my spare time.
You're good at it, too, though. Corbin. Where do folks find out more about what's going on with you?
You can find me on my Instagram page at Core Blues, and if you also want to play Rocket League or Overwatch, you can search the same thing.
Oh, I love it. I see you secretly like to game.
Corbin and I are a dream team, all right? So be prepared
to lose.
It's video games.
We will stomp you.
People may want to join on your game now. Yeah, so
seriously, we like a challenge. So
Jimmy, is it JimmyMoore.com or is it Jimmy Moore Theatrical?
No, it's none of those things.
What
you can come and find me at JRobertMoore.com.
Because that's your real name,
with
Jimmy.
With clips and videos. I don't have an album, but you can contact me and I'll sing for you. That kind of stuff. So yeah.
Well,
come
you
find
know,
me on the web.
When you get your album, you'll do one someday. We'll get you back on.
I'm going to record one right now.
Hannah, do you have anything? Or you're going off into school, so we're just going to have to keep looking around for you, right?
Yes, I don't have anything yet.
You know what? Just remember that name, people. Hannah Roberts. It was here first. It was here first. And Jordan?
You know, you can probably find me at www.jordan-baron.com, but I may not have paid it yet, so we'll see if it's back.
Well, it'll be up soon. So, Jordan, what's your favorite musical theater song right now that you're listening to?
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Words Fail from Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, my God. Do you hear it right now?
No.
Oh, my God. How, isn't that so cool? God listens to me and plays what we need. Thank you guys all for hanging out
so
by the dumpsters.
Step into the sun. Step into the sun.